Father, we thank you that you are faithful even when we are not. That you love us despite our rebellion. In spite of our imperfections, you've given us grace. And Father, we want to thank you that you have always been faithful. You always will be faithful. And Father, help us to handle that grace not like a trophy that we set on a shelf to admire, but that your grace and your faithfulness that you have given to us would so enrapture our hearts that we would live lives of holiness, righteousness, and purity, reflecting what you have done for us, reflecting your mercy and your sacrifice on the cross. And Father, as we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, would you remind us of the majesty of your sacrifice on the cross? We ask your blessing, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. You thought we would never get out of Matthew, but here we are. Two books in front of Matthew only, though. If you're visiting here this morning, you have joined us on a special day. We are celebrating communion of the Lord's table, which is an act of remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if you're visiting and you do not know Jesus here this morning, you're most welcome here among us, but I do ask that you observe, for this is for those who belong to Christ. If you're visiting and you do belong to Christ, maybe you're visiting because of family and you are born again in him, then you are most welcome to partake in communion. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19 is a very familiar story. Very familiar account of Christ. I'm going to read verse 11 down to verse 19. And as I read, ponder the question, which leper are you? Not are you a leper, but which one are you? Which leper are you? Beginning in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is a famous account of Jesus healing 10 lepers. And it says in verse 11 that as he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Jerusalem is the capital, and Jesus is heading there, and as he is between Galilee to the north and Samaria to the south. Now, multiple times throughout Jesus' ministry, he would intentionally go through Samaria to demonstrate that God's grace is available to all peoples, no matter who they are. And this was an especially severe burr in the saddle to the Jews, because the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans hated the Jews because the Jews hated them. They hated each other, and this primary reason for their disagreement, this blood feud, is because the Samaritans chose a different place of worship than Jerusalem. The Samaritans also believed only the first 5 books of the Old Testament were legitimate and discounted everything else, whereas the Jews held to the entire Torah and to the writings of the prophets and most of the Old Testament at that time. They hated each other. The Samaritans were outcasts. They were outcasts of outcasts. If there was anybody that was outside of God's grace, it would have been a Samaritan in the eyes of a Jew. These are the people that you don't want moving into your neighborhood. These are the people that you don't want to have anything to do with. In contemporary terms, the Samaritans are Syrian refugees. The ones that we don't want to have anything to do with, they're the outcasts. They're the people we're either afraid of or the people that we put out that we do not want to interact with. But Jesus is passing along this way. And in verse 12, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. Leprosy was a feared disease of ancient times. Leprosy was something that slowly decayed your physical body until there was nothing but a husk of a human being left. It would eat away at your extremities until your fingers fell off and your toes fell off and your ears would fall off, your nose would fall off, and there were open sores and pus-filled sores all over your body. As leprosy slowly killed you, you were like a walking, decaying corpse. Lepers were the outcasts of the outcasts. They were the ones who, because people were afraid of them, they would put them off and they would go form their own colonies because they were unwelcome by everybody else in society. If a leper got too close, people would pick up stones and throw stones at the lepers to keep the lepers at bay. Lepers did not mix with other people. Now Jesus is coming and he entered a village and he was met by 10 lepers. Now we don't know, maybe there were more than 10 lepers. I actually tend to think so because lepers lived in colonies. And these 10 are simply the only ones that are mentioned. And I think that is significant. But he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance because they knew that there needed to be a gulf between them and the other people. They were not welcome among society. They were outcasts. They were unclean. Let me go back to my question. Which leper are you? I'm not asking the question, are you a leper? I'm asking, which one are you? Because every single one of us are spiritual lepers before God. We have to stand at a distance from God in our natural state because we are unclean, we are unholy. God is holy, we are unholy. God is worthy, we are unworthy. So we cannot even approach the proximity or the presence of God because we are unclean. We have to stand at a distance from God. There is a breach between mankind and God. Just like these lepers had to stand at a distance from Jesus. In verse 13, they lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You see, Jesus is walking through Samaria and Galilee by no accident. He comes into a village. And 10 lepers come out, maybe from among the other lepers. They say, "What else have we got to lose? We're dying. But look, there comes that rabbi that we've heard about," because see, this area was a trade route area, so undoubtedly the lepers had heard of this rabbi who mingled with the low, who did amazing miracles, and maybe we can try our luck at him. I mean, every other priest who's walked by, every other scribe and holy man who's walked by, they won't have anything to do with us. What have we got to lose? So they came out from among their peers, stood at a distance and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." All they could do was cry for mercy. They didn't have anything to bring Jesus. Lepers were the poor of the poor. They didn't have anything to give him. They know they didn't deserve anything. All they can do is ask for mercy. They call out to Jesus specifically, not just some random name, but Jesus, because just as we sang, "There is no other name. There is no other name. Jesus is the only name in which salvation is found." And they say, "Jesus, Master." This word here for master connotes a relationship that this person that you're calling master is clearly in a different position, a different social strata than you. So now not only do they stand at a distance, but they fully realize that we are not worthy to even approach him. He is a master. We are the scum of the earth. All we can do is stand at a distance and cry out, "Have mercy on us." Verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, stop there. What a demonstration of grace. What do you mean? That Jesus even stopped to talk to them. You don't sit and have a cup of joe with a leper. They're the outcasts. They're the ones you don't mingle with. They're the ones that are unclean in every sense of the word. As you were walking by them, you hastened by them, and if you got too close, you picked up stones to throw them and to keep the lepers at bay. But Jesus, as he's walking, they call out to him, Jesus stops. He listens, and then he speaks to them. Talking to somebody is to impart value. You know, we say money is time, or time is money. Because the time that we spent has value. And if you give significant time to someone else, then you are communicating value. And these valueless human beings in terms of society, the Son of God stops and speaks to them. What does this say about our Master? That our God is a compassionate God? That he will reach out to the lowest of the low. When he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. Now, this is a very quizzical statement because you only went to go see the priest if for some reason your leprosy went into remission or you thought you had leprosy, but it goes away with some other skin rash. So you go to the high priest or you go to one of the priests. They do a thorough examination. They look over you and they say, he's clean. No problem. You can re-enter society. So these men who have leprosy eating away at them, Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. But Jesus, have you looked? I'm missing a few important items on my face here. Have you looked and seen the oozing sores? Have you looked and seen the stench of my decaying flesh? One of the things about leprosy is that it's literally, you smell like a dying corpse. Jesus, have you noticed this? Go, show yourself to the priest. Okay, Jesus, well, should we? Guys, what do you think? I mean, should we go? What else have we got to lose? If we stay here, we're dead. Let's believe. Let's trust that what he is saying is true. Let's go. And so they start off on their journey. And as they went, they were cleansed. They believed Jesus. They start off on the journey, and somewhere along the journey, as they were going, suddenly they look up and say, hey, your ear's back. Hey, where did the sores go? I'm clean. I'm healed. If they had not believed Jesus, and just trusted his word, would they have been healed? Was it the act of going to the high priest that saved them? Or was it simply a belief that what Jesus said was fact, and in trusting and having faith, they were healed? Well, let's see that in a moment. They were cleansed. Could you imagine the joy as they're walking down the road as they're cleansed? Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Look at the next verse. Now he was a Samaritan. An outcast of outcasts, a leper among the outcasts. This man is as low and as outcast as far as you can cast someone out. And this man recognizes he's healed. He runs back to Jesus. Now notice this. Before, while he was unclean, there was a gulf between him and Christ. They stood at a distance. They did not feel worthy. They did not feel like they could come because they were unclean. But this man has been healed by God. And notice this. There is no gulf now. He runs right up to Christ, falls on his face at his feet. He no longer has to stand at a distance from God because he has been made clean by Jesus. Look at the imagery here. He runs. Before he couldn't come near Jesus. But now he runs and he gets to Jesus, and the whole time he's shouting, I've been cleansed, I've been healed. And he runs and he falls down on his knees and then goes to his face thanking God that he would love a leper such as him. In complete abasement and thanksgiving. Now Jesus said, we're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus, he knows where the other 9 are. This is a rhetorical question. Has nobody else responded to God's act of grace except this one foreigner? And he said to him, your faith has made you well. This is very important to understand. The your in the your faith is singular, not plural. He's not saying your faith, as in you and all the lepers, because you believe you are made well. He's looking at this one Samaritan. He says, your faith, your belief in me has made you well. What, physically well? Actually, remember, this is a wonderful English translation, but behind the English words are the original Greek manuscripts. And the Greek here for made you well or saved him is the word that is specifically used to talk about spiritual salvation. This other word, made you well, you've been healed. It's in the perfect tense. The perfect tense means that there was an event that happened and the effects of that event are eternal in nature. He looks at this man and says, you came back. Your faith, it wasn't the act of going to the priest that saved you. It was you trusted me. You believed in me. And because you believed in me, you have been not only physically healed, but you have been spiritually made right with God. And the effects, that perfect tense, that the effects of that salvation, of that healing, are absolutely eternal in nature. You've not only been made clean, you've been made right with God. Where are the other 9? See, which leper are you? Are you the leper that didn't even step out with the other 10? I'm too far gone. What's the point of even trying? You're a leper who believes that you're out of the reach of God's grace. Or maybe you're a leper in denial. I'm not a leper. I'm good. I'm not too bad. God will be able to tolerate my rebellion and the holiness and the stench of sin in my life. I'm not that bad. You're deceived. Maybe you're a leper like one of the 9 who came and cried out, God, have mercy, and you heard some good preaching, or you heard some good teaching, or you came in contact with other Christians, and you think simply by association that God's demonstrated, by the way, grace and even allowing you to hear the words of life. And you take that and you run. Wow, this is good stuff. But you've never bowed the knee at the feet of Jesus. And because of that, all the other 9 who experienced an initial act of grace on their behalf never responded, and as a result are lost. This man responded. But notice this, he doesn't just respond. He wants everybody to know. Remember, Jesus is in a village? There's probably spectators. I'm sure there are spectators here. 10 lepers, Jesus talking to them. We're gonna see what's going on. We're gonna see what's happening. But this man, praising God with a loud voice, runs back into the village, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. The word here for thanks, Eucharisto, the one that's direct, thanks directed at God. And he worshiped him, praising God. This word praising God is to make reputation of, to esteem his character, to let everybody know who this man is, who healed him. You see, this leper, when he was saved, he didn't walk back into town excited. Jesus, can I have a word with you? Thank you for healing me. Is that good? Yeah, is it good to say thank you? Absolutely. This leper, he's healed. He recognizes that Jesus healed him. He comes running into town. I'm healed. Look, my ears, do you see the pus? You want to touch it? It's gone. You want to touch me? No. Okay, no. Okay, great. I'm going to say thank you. And when he gets to Jesus, he falls down on his feet, worships God, and he wants everybody to know who this man is and who saved him. This is just not simply an issue of thanksgiving. It's an issue of a life truly transformed, and true transformation results in true worship, true acts of worship. This man didn't just feel good. Man, we're sitting here this morning, and again, which leper are you? Maybe you're a leper. You've been cleansed. You do belong to Christ, and you're coming in this morning, and you've forgotten that you were once a leper. You've forgotten what the stench of your sin was like. And this Thanksgiving, though it's Thanksgiving week, what do I have to be thankful for? If you don't have any material or relational possession in this world and you belong to Jesus, you have eternity to be thankful for. I have been in Kenya and Tanzania and other places around the world and seen people living in mud huts who walk out with nothing, with the biggest smile on their face, and they greet you, "Hello, my brother in Jesus. I may have nothing, but in Christ I have everything." But have we grown cold? Are we lepers who have forgotten where we have been rescued from? Are we lepers? Maybe we have lots of lepers sitting here this morning that we're walking through life. I want Jesus to know how thankful I am in my prayer life. It's really good. I'm not saying it's not good. Or are we sitting here and we have an emotional experience of, okay, that's exciting, and that's good. But we're not a leper who is expressing what he has received in true acts of obedience of, I don't care what people think. As he was running back into town, do you think people were going, what is his problem? What's going on? Why is he so fanatical? What is the big deal? He says, I don't care. I just want everybody to know who healed me. That's the leper that we must be. A healed leper who walks through life, I don't care if they call me the village idiot, I'm going to let everybody know that there is salvation in one name, and his name is Jesus. Thankfulness, worship, the receipt of redemption. True thanks is not just simply, oh, I feel good, I'm happy, I'm going to church. True thanks is reflected in a life of obedience and holiness and living to make Jesus glorified and well-known like this leper. Which leper are you? Which leper are you? We're about to partake in the Lord's Supper. You have much to be thankful for if you are in Christ, that he stopped and came and talked to you. But here's the beautiful thing. We stand off at a distance and we think, oh, God would never heal someone like me. But in an act of desperation, we cry out for mercy. God, have mercy on me, for I'm a leper, I'm a sinner. And no sooner have we cried that out, then we realize that God has already been running down the dirty road to us to embrace us. that when Jesus came between Samaria and Galilee, it was not an accident, but that he sovereignly directed his path to come to that village so that those 10 lepers could see him and cry out to him, and that he could draw them in and ultimately save this one man. It was not an accident. It was an act of divine providence. We have so much to be thankful for. Lepers who have been healed. Let us pray this morning. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you stopped in my life and listened and embraced the stench of my sin and paid it on the cross. Thank you for my many brothers and sisters here who know you. And if anyone here does not know you, maybe they think they're beyond saving, maybe they don't even think they have a problem. Lord, would you show them the gulf, the gap, the distance that exists between them and a relationship with you? And would you bleed their heart and soul to realize that they need to cry out for mercy? And Lord, thank you that you are waiting to receive them. If you're a believer here this morning, as we're about to partake communion with every head bowed and every eye closed, stop right now. Get your heart right with God. If there's any sin or some sort of issue between you and him, come to him with a pure heart. If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus, there is a distance between you and God, and you want it reconciled, would you raise your hand right now? This does not save you. Nobody's looking. I want to see so I can be praying for you. Then I'm going to ask, come and talk to me after the service. But raise your hand, would you, if you need Jesus this morning. And if you have questions, you come and talk to me. Oh, Father, would you bless this holy act of worship as we remember what you went through to bring us that healing. With every head bowed and every eye still closed. In Mark chapter 14, verse 22, Jesus instituted communion so that we'd be reminded what the cost was for our healing. And as they were eating that night with his disciples, he took bread and after blessing it, broke and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup and he blessed. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." The bread and the cup, remember, reminds us of the price that it took to heal us. God, you are holy. This act of worship, we esteem it as holy. May you be exalted, and in Jesus' name, amen. Servers, would you please stand? Gentlemen, everybody else remain seated. We will partake in communion. If you need a gluten-free wafer because of celiacs or some sort of intolerance, each one of our men do have a celiac wafer, a gluten wafer. You may ask them for it, and they will give that to you. They will come down the aisles with both the bread and the cup. Please take one of each. And after you get the bread and the cup, please just hold on to it And you may take some time to pray or to listen as Pastor Dell plays on the piano, and then we will all partake it together in an act of sacred worship before God.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. All my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The Lord forever I will see. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Of the Lord forever, I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. I praise him for his cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. like to sing that next verse with me, just join in. He cleansed my heart from all its sin. What a wonderful Savior. And now He reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. And triumph in each trying hour. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Jesus, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
If any of our men have inadvertently missed you in the distribution of the elements, would you please raise your hand? Raise your hand high so that we do not miss anybody. Gentlemen, I've been out, all been served. In remembrance that we were all lepers, if you are in Christ, then you have been healed. Healed at a great cost. The sin, the stinking sin and leprous sores of rebellion that once covered our body were washed by the blood of Christ that was freely given so that we might be made new, cleansed, justified, made holy, reconciled with God, so that gap, that distance between us and God might be bridged. As we think about what Christ did for us this Thanksgiving, even as we sit around the meal and we celebrate, let us first give thanks for what Jesus has done for us. In remembrance of his sacrifice, in verse 22 of Mark chapter 14, as they were eating, he took bread. After blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Let's all partake together. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This reminds us of the blood that washed the filth of our sin away. It is also a commitment of hope, where Jesus promised that he will not drink of it again until we are with him in the heavenly kingdom. So as we drink of it, it's a reminder of what Christ has done, but it's also a reminder, no matter what we see on the news, no matter what's going on in the world around us, no matter how many terrorist threats are made, nothing can keep the Lord Jesus from coming back again. So let's drink in celebration of what he has done and reminding us of that he is still coming back for us. Let us drink of it together. It is a beautiful thing to remember the cross of Christ, to celebrate it together in worship. So let us, as we conclude this service, let us conclude with a song of worship. Would you please stand this morning? And we're going to sing, "Living He Loved Me, Dying He Saved Me." And as the worship team comes, let us first in prayer give thanks for what he has done. Father, we again come to your throne. Help us to be the leper who once healed, ran through the village, didn't care what people said, thought, but just cried out and said, "Jesus is my Savior. He is my healer." Father, I pray you would help each one of us to live our lives in such a way that the grace of God is magnified, and that your name is the one of repute. Your name is the one that is glorified. Let us sing together. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.